of all
why
of us.
Why did you just like enter a monastery? I don't know why you're married. I'm kidding. Welcome back, everybody. Today is Monday of the third week of Advent.
It is good to see you, and a special invitation. If you've been watching on YouTube and you have never received our videos by email, you could head over to the link in the card right up there, or it's also in the description, because we email these videos out also to people who sign up. So if you don't want to miss any, just sign up on that email. Now, today we continue our theme of examining St. Alphonsus Liguori's Advent sermons. Janelle?
Right, the first thing that really kind of spoke to me, he goes a lot into the religious life. And, you know, I really do feel like we can still apply this to our life, even if we aren't a religious sister or a priest. We've actually had a few people in our lives that have entered religious life or who have become priests, and it's been beautiful to watch them on this journey. And most recently, in the mail, I received a card from my friend Micheline. She's now Sister Micheline. And when I opened it, I noticed right away that the card was cut in half. And she wrote on the back side of the part with the image. There was like a image of a flower or something. And then she wrote her letter on the other side. And I thought, I bet you she reused a card, or they don't have maybe the luxury of going out and buying cards, so they reuse what is given to them and live providentially. And I just thought, actually, it was so beautiful. I thought, this is such a beautiful witness of using what God has given you to bless another. Because we live very in abundance all the time. And yet these people, I find, live more in their poverty. After the year's novitiate, besides the vows of chastity and obedience, a vow of poverty is made, in consequence of which, if solemn, one can never possess anything as one's own, not even a pin, or income, or money, or any other thing. The community will provide him or her with all that he needs. But the vow of poverty alone will not make one a true follower of Jesus Christ if he does not embrace with joy of spirit all the inconveniences of poverty. And I think of it like it would be inconvenient to have to rely on divine providence and not be self-reliant. I can just go run out to the store and get what we need. But if you're reliant on, you know, maybe the donations of others, it would be inconvenient.
You know, I have a different view.
Okay, tell me.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
But then there's also a freedom.
Yes, true.
So you rely completely in divine providence for God to give everything. So you don't have to worry about it, I guess.
Yes, that's true.
He's going to provide.
And that's probably such a way better way to live.
And as you're describing that, part of that is our life. Without you realizing it. Because we are dependent upon people.
Right. So am I saying I don't like my life?
I don't know what you're saying.
I like to plan things.
Yes.
And I don't, you know, like I need to know what everyone's going to be eating tomorrow or...
Yeah, we're married and we are blessed and we do that. But one thing that also stands out to me is like the religious almost have a head start in detaching from the world. Because all of us, in one sense, have to go through poverty to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Because we can't be attached to the world and heaven and Jesus Christ at the same time. One's got to give. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. So the vow of poverty, what a blessing to the religious. Mm-hmm. Because they get a head start. It's like the race of faith. They're already a couple steps ahead of everyone else because they're anticipating what is to come. Whereas because of our responsibilities that we have as lay people, we can't do that mm-hmm. in the way they can. Nor are we expected to do that in the way they can because we have to be responsible with the duties that are before us. Mm-hmm. So our lives look different. But we should not fool ourselves to think that that is an extreme call because that is a call all of us must respond to eventually. Complete detachment from the world. And if we're not ready to do that, we're not ready for heaven. And Jesus in his mercy will say, okay, then to purgatory you go. Because that is the great detachment there. God's mercy working upon our soul to prepare us for that eternal embrace with his divine love. And again, we can't be attached to the world and Jesus at the same time in heaven. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work that way. Nothing unclean can enter heaven.
The second detachment that St. Alphonsus speaks about is the detachment from relations. And I know this is a hard one because we are so attached to family, to friends. You know, I remember when we were first married and Ken would leave for the weekend to go speaking and I would be in tears and distraught that he was gone. Now I don't have time to worry about things like that, but but it's true. I was so attached. And you know, there's something beautiful about that too. I'm not saying that's always a bad thing, but he is speaking about in terms of the religious life, how they do need to detach themselves from their families and from the communities that they were raised in. And even he speaks different examples of saints, how when they would go home for their home visits, felt that it did them a disservice because it made them kind of like go back into their old life, slowed their progress in the spiritual life.
I wonder if that's what the religious think when they come to visit us.
Yeah. Don't go see the Yazinskis. We're going to make two Stay steps away. Back in the spiritual life. But it reminded me of my time in Calcutta. I went there in 2007 and served with the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's order. And it really surprised me. You know how often they get to go home to visit their family? Once every 10 years for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Could you imagine? A lot changes in 10 years. We've been married for 12 and we will have 7 children in 12 years. Yeah. A lot changes. Mm-hmm. And not just in family size, but just in family dynamics, in job, in location. You know, people, a lot of things happen. But that's the whole thing. We need to be detached.
Once again, I think the religious have a head start and the rest of all
why
of us.
Why didn't you just like enter a monastery? I don't know why you're married. I'm kidding.
Think about this, friends. They have a head start. Religious, they are detaching from the world, from relationships. Why? So they completely conform their life to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. which is the call of all of us. So we should not think it is an extreme call to detach from relationships. Now, they have relationships with each other. Those relationships help them love each other, love Jesus, work out their salvation. But all of us are going to get to the point, the last moment of our life as lay people, where we have to detach from every single loved one in our life, including our children, including our spouses. That's the reality. The call that the religious have is just a head start. All of us must respond to this eventually. And again, if we're not detached by the end of our life and have perfect charity for God, Jesus in his mercy says, okay, into purgatory you go. Because in purgatory, our love for Jesus is refined. So that concludes everything, friends. Thank you so much for watching. Please comment below what stood out to you and why. The link for the rosary is going to be right up there, and we'll see you tomorrow.